This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A lot of conversation about the former president and will he be cuffed? That's the way he's describing it, and there's many on the Hill who think it's ridiculous, while a prosecutor in New York knows the answer to the riddle, or at least he thinks he does. Let's see what a grand jury says. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, tick, 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 as the world keeps going. Boy, we have a lot to jump to, and we're going to do it right away. So let's talk about the former president. In fact, Governor Ron DeSantis, who's expected to be his rival in the race to win the Republican nod for 2024, spoke on Monday about Donald Trump's expected indictment, because a lot of Republicans are weighing in on this. Over the weekend, Donald Trump said he thought for sure he'd be arrested and that his supporters should protest. So DeSantis said that, and this is while barricades are going up outside the criminal courts building in Manhattan. That happened on Monday. Also, some barricades and precautions were being taken on the Hill for the possibility of protests that could spread in Washington. So DeSantis is saying that, you know, this is just a New York DA weaponizing his office. It's political. And DeSantis, who was facing pressure to speak out against the case, broke a couple days of silence and did say that, and said that he didn't want to focus on that. He wanted to focus on the problems of the country and what was happening in Florida. And remember, he hasn't declared his candidacy for president yet, but he is traveling around the country, including to, guess what, the key early primary states. And, you know, specifically, he said, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I just can't speak to that. But I can say, if you have a prosecutor who's ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. So, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney that everybody's talking about, does appear poised to indict the former prez, and the political firestorm has absolutely started. So what's the latest that's happened? A guy named Robert Costello, once an advisor to Michael Cohen, appeared before the grand jury to actually assail the former fixer's credibility, Michael Cohen's credibility, which then would go toward staving off this supposed possible indictment. Costello and Cohen, of course, fell out a few years ago, and Trump's lawyers hope that Costello's grand jury appearance would undercut what Michael Cohen's testimony was. Under New York law, a person who prosecutors expect to indict can request that a witness appear on his or her behalf. So that's Costello. The final decision to hear the witness rests with the grand jury. So in an interview after his appearance, he attacked the prosecutors, saying they had withheld evidence from the grand jury. At one point, he waved around the packet in front of the jurors, saying, "This is what you're missing." You know, the testimony lasted more than 2 hours, and at times, supposedly, he seemed hostile or got pretty hot about what was happening. So prosecutors had also called Cohen to the courthouse where the grand jury meets, thinking he might be useful in rebutting Costello's testimony, but they didn't call him into the grand jury on Monday. Could he be called later in the week? And if he is called later in the week, that would push off a big Tuesday of a potential indictment. Just so you know, to refresh your memory, as DeSantis is saying, to go back a few years, if you don't remember, Cohen paid $130,000 to buy the silence of porn star Stormy Daniels, who said she had had a sexual encounter with the former president, and that Trump authorized the payment, according to Cohen, who pled guilty to federal charges involving the hush money in 2018. And that's the heart of this, is whether or not that was campaign money and broke campaign finance laws. So there has been a ton of reaction to this. And obviously, there's manpower in New York and in Washington where they're setting up barricades and adding additional police force in case there is some kind of a protest. All right, protests of a different sort. The nation's second largest school district is going to cancel classes starting on Tuesday. Thousands of employees are pressing for higher pay. So the workers are saying that they're striking. They want more money, as I just said. How many classes or how many students? You're talking about 422,000, give or take. The union represents 30,000 support workers in that district. They're looking for a 30% pay increase, saying that many employees make little more than the minimum wage and they can't afford the cost of living in Southern California. So there had been a lot of conversation about this potentially happening, and now it just is happening. In a bizarre way, it's good timing for that, from the sense of the atmospheric river is slamming into Southern California again and Northern California, which means lots and lots of rain. There's expected power outages that could happen both in the north and the south of California. People who live there are tired of talking about the rain. It's so interesting because when I lived there, and so often Californians would complain about the lack of rain. There was even a famous old 70s song that was written about it never rains in Southern California. Quite the opposite now. All right, laid off workers. Boy, there's always a category for this. I don't know if it affects any of you or family members, but remember when you used to go to the mall? Remember the mall days and you went to Foot Locker? They're closing 400 stores by 2026. Some people have already bounced from there. But officially being bounced, Amazon is going to lay off 9,000 more workers because just like a lot of other tech companies or big companies, they hired a lot of people during the pandemic, and now they're concerned about the economic front and some of the things that they dove into that they're not putting as much resources toward, so that is more layoffs for Amazon because they already just had a wave of layoffs. So tough break for a lot of people who jumped on the Amazon bandwagon and were making work in crazy, crazy hours, but were making some pretty good jack and now find themselves having to look. They say it's not about money or looks. It's about being happy and being married. Tell that to billionaire media mogul Rupert Murdoch. He's going to walk down the aisle for the fifth time. Are you kidding me? 92 years old. He's engaged to marry Ann Leslie Smith. Wonder if a lot of people will attend that wedding or it's just going to be a low-key affair. Coming up next, author Joellen Capps.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
This time around here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, is Joellen Capps, and she's written this such an interesting novel. It's called Laughter at Dawn. Joellen, thanks for hopping on.
Well, you're welcome.
Let's talk about writing this novel, because you've dabbled in writing before. I mean, you've written a short story, and I think you have an aptitude for it, is what I'm going to say.
Well, you were
even in an international literary competition, and you talked about the experiences of your mother, having to put your mother in a nursing home. So this is different, though, doing this novel. What led to this?
Well, I graduated from college in 1979, and I went to work at this facility for the intellectually disabled a week later. And I thought I'd work a couple years to get some experience and moved on, but I stayed there all my life. And I liked it to a certain point, but it did not meet my needs, I guess is what you would say. I wanted more out of life. I wanted to do more work. I was used to working hard in college, and I came out prepared to work hard, and this job did not allow me to excel. So I was trying to think of, you know, another way to excel. And then people had told me that I had a knack for writing, so I started doing that. And just had been slowly working on this novel, and it was first published in 2013, and it's just been out since then.
So it's interesting because you used what you knew, and that's what they say when you, especially when you weave tales, when you look around and there are professions or there's things you observe about people and you put them in novels, it makes it really strong and your character strong. And your novel is about Abby Thornton, who's a young woman who suffers from an undiagnosed psychiatric condition. Tell us about Abby and what happens to her.
Okay. Okay, well, the story starts out, it's set in 1989, and it's a Greenway Developmental Center. It's a state-operated facility, but that's not the name of the facility where I work. That's fiction. And a lot of the characters are fiction, but I would use different personalities from different staff members and put them all into one character. So the story did have the ring of truth at different points. Now, Abby was in foster placement for several years before she came to Greenway Developmental Center. She was abused by one who was a minister, the ministerial family. The minister was very strict with his children and knew that they would not give him any trouble, and he was upset when he got called to school because Abby gave him some trouble. And it was just she was afraid and had, I think, gotten into some fingernail polish or something and broken it and, you know, eaten some of it. And he would whip her with the whip. And so that didn't last but so long. She was, social services moved her out of that. And then she went to stay with a lady named Arthur Mae Madison. And she was good friends with the social worker from the social services. So Abby and Arthur Mae hit it off, did very well. But then Arthur Mae had remarried, and Estelle, the social worker, did not know that. So Arthur Mae goes to her mother's in Florida for a week. And during that time, her husband rapes Abby and then acts like nothing's happened. So Abby exhibits behaviors at school, and then her psychiatrist ends up putting her in Greenway because there's nothing else for her in the community. A lot of the families can't deal with her self-injurious behaviors and her psychiatric issues. So she went to Greenway in 1978,
and then goes through what you go through when you're in that kind of a place, which is what you talk about so vividly in your book, you know, hallucinations, things that happened to her, which is some really wild twists in this book. We don't want to give it all away. But you start to read it, and you really get pulled into what happens to her at Greenway, and then we won't tell you what happens at the end. But when you wrote this, was it a challenge for you? Was it fun for you? What was it like to write a novel?
It was fun.
I bet. It sounds like it was fun because you can tell that you really get into the characters. When people read Laughter at Dawn, which we're speaking to Joe Allen Capps, you can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope they take away from reading your novel?
Well, that people need to pay a little bit of more of attention to mental health issues, especially in the intellectually disabled population, because sometimes it's difficult to know what types of medication put them on. And in this book, the facility director, Bill Farthing, keeps ordering the psychiatrist to put Abby on lots of medicine and then to take her off cold turkey. So no wonder poor Abby's just bonkers, basically, because of what they do to her. And Sally McGraw is a psychologist. And she is Abby's friend and mentor, and also the nurse, Darcy Sleet, is a friend and mentor of Abby's, and she and Sally are both friends with Abby. Abby goes to another facility that can help her with her mental health issues, and there she ends up killing a nurse. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but she was sent back to the facility. But what it is, in brief or in summary, is every time she gets sent out, she gets sent back because of her intellectual disability. The law at that time was saying, you know, if they have any intellectual disability, they go to a facility that serves the intellectually disabled. They don't stay in a mental health facility or psychiatric hospital. And that's where the problem came in, because I did have several clients that had been in the mental health system, because I was on a behavior unit for 10 years, and I had almost all my clients had mental health issues.
So you know what it was like to deal with it. I mean, all those years certainly in that field. All right, the name of the book is Laughter at Dawn, Jo Ellen Capps. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, just a couple of minutes left in this segment. I'll tell you, there was something really sad that happened in New York City. You know, this is, it can happen in any small town or big suburb or whatever, but we just had something a targeted attack that happened in New York a couple of months ago. But there was this fatal wreck. It happened right before 1 o'clock on Monday, 1 in the afternoon. A 49-year-old man just driving down in Bensonhurst loses control of his car. Two people were killed, five injured. It jumps the curb. And, of course, it was caught on camera, so you could clearly see it was a bizarre wreck, but there were pedestrians that were there in Brooklyn. They're just walking down the street. He went through a red light and rammed into another car at the intersection, jumped the curb, and you see the surveillance footage of the two cars just colliding with each other and spinning out of control, and one barrels onto the sidewalk, another one down the street. But awful to see that, and just to see, you can see the shock, because it's just, again, you're in your bubble, you're in your world, you're in a big city, you're just walking, doing the daily deal, and all of a sudden this car is right there in your face. And that's what it looked like to me, because before we went on the air, somebody had sent me some video of it, and I was like, ah, wow. Just sad news to see that. And of course, coming up later this week, we'll talk more about the banking issues. You know, that's been a lot of conversation for a lot of people. Hey, should I take my money out of the bank? People are going to some of these medium-sized banks, or even some small banks of support in some local areas, and wondering how safe their money is, thanks to Silicon Valley Bank and the demise of Credit Suisse. So just over a week from the failure of a relatively little known but sizable regional U.S. bank to the forced fire sale of a 166-year-old global giant. Wow, things change in an instant. A couple of great authors coming up next.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has failed to obtain a $464 million fraud judgment against him in New York. Trump must post bond by next week, or New York Attorney General Letitia James can begin collection proceedings during the appeals process. The White House confirmed that President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a discussion Monday. They covered recent developments in the Israel-Hamas conflict, particularly focusing on the situation in Rafah and efforts to enhance aid to Gaza. The Supreme Court seems doubtful about restricting the government's communication with social media platforms. Arguments heard on Monday questioned whether the Biden administration's efforts to combat misinformation on these platforms infringed upon the First Amendment. At the heart of the case are communications from administration officials urging platforms to monitor information regarding the legitimacy of the 2020 election and COVID-19. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
In time, we have some odds and ends. That means a little of this, a little of that. First, let's talk about some of the numbers that I think are insane that I've seen as far as snow is concerned. When I say 677 inches of snow, where are you thinking you're getting that amount of snow? I mean, let's be serious. I'm thinking deep in New England, maybe somewhere. I can think of places overseas that I would say they might see that amount of fall. No. That amount of snowfall. We're talking about California. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that much snow has fallen at the Central Snow Laboratory. It's a University of California Berkeley Field Research Station. It's at Donner Pass in California's Sierra Nevada Mountains. So the latest total recorded on Monday surpassed a 40-year record that was held back in 1983. I mean, just absolutely extraordinary if you think about it. And, you know, the storm window for snow has not necessarily closed just yet. So since late February, snow has surpassed 50 feet in California, and it's just expanded. The accumulation is off the charts. That's why that number is so incredibly high. And, you know, you got Mammoth Lakes. They break a snowfall record. They shattered 125 inches. So they recorded 210 inches of snow. You get it. People in California, I mean, in Colorado, are laughing at California because that's another place that I would think, let's talk about snowfall. And I would say back in the day, you would always look to the Denver area. You would look to the mountains, the various mountain areas in Colorado. I mean, you could look to some other places, like I said, as well. But that is just too sweet of a number to not touch, because it's shocking. Like, we saw parts where it was like tunnels. You had 17 inches. And remember, Jeremy Renner, the actor, was injured in trying to do something with a snowplow to help somebody that was buried, a family member buried in snow, basically their car, and trying to help them out. And then look what happened with him. It was just a crazy, weird accident. But it also, at that time, highlighted how much the snow was. I mean, it wasn't just a pain in the rear end snow. It was a serious, serious snow. All right, speaking of snow, Gwyneth Paltrow has made some headlines, not for making $1 zillion with Goop Cosmetics or Goop products, this time, or a movie. This time it's about a trial 7 years after a Utah ski slopes crash. I was thinking, I don't remember this at all. But anyway, it's the kind of reversal thing. I guess that's why. In 2019, she was sued by Terry Sanderson, this guy who claimed she seriously injured him during a crash on the slopes at Park City. It happened in February of that year, and it was on a beginner run at Deer Valley Resort. In the lawsuit, the retired optometrist said Paltrow was skiing out of control and knocked him down, leaving him with a concussion and 4 broken ribs. Yikes. And she referred to it as he did a hit and run. And so he's actually seeking $3.1 million in damages. He also claimed that Paltrow left him injured on the mountain, didn't send help. He says that a Deer Valley ski instructor filed a false incident report saying Paltrow didn't cause the crash. He told reporters in Salt Lake City on the day he sued that he waited to file the lawsuit for 3 years because he had problems with attorneys and couldn't function properly because of the concussion. So this is going to be kind of interesting to watch. You know, there's all kinds of weird ski accidents. Now, she in her counterclaim is saying that she was shaken by a collision and quit skiing with her family for the day because she's saying she had a different view of what happened. She's saying that the retired optometrist actually plowed into her from behind and gave her a full body blow. And she says that he apologized to her, said he was fine. And, of course, she previously denied blame for this crash in a statement but didn't offer any kind of full version of the events. So all she's looking at is symbolic damages in the amount of $1 plus her costs and attorney fees to defend what she calls the meritless claim. And she vowed she would donate any additional money potentially awarded by a jury to a charitable organization. So who's zooming who? You know, that's the whole thing with skiing, right? I had a couple of weird ski things happen to me. I don't know about the rest of you. I think it's one of those things where you're either really adept at it or you think you know what you're doing. You take a couple of lessons or someone, a friend of a friend, and then the other two friends show you, oh, it's so easy. Just point your skis and you go back and forth, swish, swish. It's not so easy because all the conditions are different, et cetera. In this case, it's not about who was, you know, was it easy, was it hard, whatever it was. I mean, there it was, a beginner's run. So I'll be curious what a jury finds in this case. And then plus the other answer is that it's been so long. I mean, he said it's been 3 years because, and he gave these reasons. I'm thinking that he's not going to get $3.1 million or get any money in this case, but I'm not on the jury, so we'll see what they say. All right, speaking of money, it seems to be a theme here, or numbers anyway. We really could have done this segment, you know, a by-the-numbers sort of thing, or we can count, but it's odds and ends. So Ryan Reynolds, you know who he is, movie star, funny guy, philanthropist, voted at one point, if you see such things when you're checking out in the grocery aisle, when you have $100 in your pocket to get some eggs. He was People's Sexiest Man Alive, I think at least once. In 2019, he acquired a 25% plus stake in Mint Mobile. It's a prepaid phone plan that uses T-Mobile's wireless network. Earlier last week, T-Mobile announced plans to buy Mint $1.35 billion. You know, his commercials were clever. We don't have a lot of money. Here's what it costs, blah, blah, blah. No hidden fees. It really was clever and funny and popped up. And I think there was even a Super Bowl ad for Mint Mobile. But apparently people are jumping on it. And he does seem to have the Midas touch when it comes to some of these deals that he's done. He took over a fifth-tier Welsh football team. in 2020. And apparently there's kind of magic happening there because they've had all kinds of sponsorship deals and a 3% or 3x increase in season ticket sales and huge social media followers. And now he's even trying to do the same thing with an NHL team, the Ottawa Senators. He wants to build the team a new rink and do a whole series of sponsorship things, whatever. But obviously business-wise, there is something about fame and just having the right touch and being in the right place at the right time. And this has happened to him a couple of different times, so he's got some savvy in that area, that's for sure. All right, what else is going on for odds and ends? How about this? You know, what's happened with this, you know, those Google glasses? Remember those Google glasses? Oh, they're going to be the best. You'll be able to, you just throw the glasses on, Google Glass, and it's just a great AR tool, which didn't really take off. I guess they're testing a new smart glass product, but the Google Glass is going away. See, that's the thing with tech products. Sometimes you got to wait and see what sticks and what doesn't stick before you shell out some big bucks and thinking it's going to be a life changer and, oh, it's going to be so easy to use. But they stopped selling them. They announced that's what they're going to do. So it's the end of the line for one of the first and most recognized, anyway, smart glass product lines from any kind of a tech company. I can remember a couple of people telling me, oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to save up because it'll be worth it because I can easily make that money back with what I'm going to be able to do with it, blah, blah, blah. So early adopters, if it was back in 2013, this is why I say you always wait, $1,500, right? So if you were a tech nerd, I don't know, was it worth it or not? Of course, there were things that didn't really catch on, and it became like a punchline for sure. They had a new version that was released in 2019. Now, see to my point of it'll eventually come down for $9.99. How tricky is that? But you look at Meta, you look at Apple and virtual reality technology and what they're doing. So at this point, yeah, the glass just didn't work. I guess they're going to preview some other smart glasses, but it just didn't work at that price point, especially because then that's what you got to think. Who's buying it? Who's willing to shell out that kind of money for what they get in return? And if they get what they think they're going to get in return and they're going to be able to make that up, or they don't care and they just have serious dough and it's just another toy, well, then that's a whole different thing. But that's not, they're going for mainstream. They're going for as many people. These companies are going for as many people as possible. So they're not looking for Richie Rich. They're looking for average Joe and Jane. Speaking of tech, Amazon laying off 9,000 workers. Didn't seem like they were constantly hiring, but they're cutting another 9,000. This is their second round of mass layoffs in the last couple of months. And they're targeting like cloud computing, human resources, that division, advertising, Twitch, because Twitch really hasn't become huge, I don't think. And they just eliminated, 18,000 positions. So then you add all this together. They say it's the same thing that we keep hearing. There was this burst of hiring in the early days of the pandemic, and now things have changed. And so now they're peeling back like other tech companies have done. All right, that's it for odds and ends. Hang with us as we head to the exits.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality powdery arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery arco super tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery arco super tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
B.F. Squadair joins us. The name of his book, Before, Into, Beyond Cancer. And his story is one that is just unbelievable. Where he is now and where he started on that cancer journey. So, B.F., thanks for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me on. So, my story starts back in 1980 when I was 17. I was diagnosed with a bone cancer called Ewing sarcoma, which had a very low success rate in 1980. And the doctors set me up on a regimen to treat the cancer. And they started me on the radiation treatment, which is pretty aggressive. It was 5 days in a week, and then you take a week off, and another 5 days. We found out after the fact that the hospital gave me like 4 to 5 times the level they were supposed to. My sister Michelle said, maybe that was my saving grace. But for the next 7 or 8 months, I was really, really radioactive. I couldn't really touch much. The next treatment was chemotherapy, and the chemotherapy back in 1980 made you terribly sick. I probably got down to like 90 pounds. I could never eat. And after like 6 or 7 months of that, they weren't getting very good results, so they wanted me to try this experimental chemo that wasn't even FDA approved yet. I had to sign all these legal forms because unfortunately nothing was killing the cancer. And a few months after that, the doctors told my parents there was nothing else they could do, and maybe I had another 6 months to live. And my mother erupted at the doctor and said, you're not going to tell my son he's going to die. He thinks he's going to live. And the next mom said it was time for us to find a new doctor. And, you know, he did all this research to find doctors who had experience with Ewing sarcoma. You know, and that was long before the internet. So it's amazing she found, you know, what she did. So we found this doctor down in New York City in Sloan Kettering, Dr. Joe Lane. He looked at my x-rays and he said to us, we really need to carve out this piece of cancerous bone. He said, it might work and maybe we can save you. He sounded kind of skeptical to us, unfortunately. So my mom looked at me and said, well, Brian, what do you want to do? And I said, Mom, I think we're running out of options. I said, if I'm broke and he can fix it, let's give it a try. Since then, I've had so many surgeries in the past, and that's always been my motto. If it's broke, fix it. If something's broken, me, just fix it, you know. You know, when you're 17 or not 18 years old, you know, you're kind of naive. You don't really foresee death at that age, you know, if they don't. So then surgery came Thanksgiving 1981. It was like a 12 or 14-hour surgery. I don't know. I woke up from that, and my whole left leg and my left side were numb. There was no feeling. Dr. Wayne came in and said, they had to cut my femoral artery because it was so deteriorated from the radiation. They had to cut the femoral nerve, and forever I'd have no more feeling in that part of my body. So that's the... I guess that's the first segment and my whole ordeal with this. You know, my family, they certainly understood it better than I did. And quite frankly, you know, everybody thought I was going to die. The whole neighborhood thought I was going to die. They threw a big party for me and all this stuff. So it was really kind of strange to be put in that situation. You know, I mean, you don't really believe it, but, you know, that's kind of what all rolled out from that. So.
And in your book, you know, you really lay out some interesting things that I think would be incredibly helpful to anybody who's got cancer of any kind and is going through this, because your mom really saved you because she refused to give up and just listen to one diagnosis, right?
My mom is the only reason I'm alive. I mean, there was times I was down, I was sad. You know, I wrote in the book, I mean, there was a time I was really distraught. And the doctors had me on piles and piles of pills. And, you know, one segment of my life, I said, this is it, I'm all done. And I remember I took a whole lot of pills one night, and I said, that's it, I'm giving up, you know. And I woke up the next day, and I said, boy, thank God, stupid me. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't kill myself, and, you know. And after that, I said, okay, well, you know, I got to tackle this in a better way and see what's going on, you know. But after, you know, after experiencing the whole thing like that, I'm going through it all, I thought it'd be awful to not somehow reflect on it and maybe give some people some hope that, you know, maybe you don't have to die from this. You know, I have so many people die from cancer, and when I hear this, the papers, and people die young, it, you know, breaks my heart. It's just, I just thought it's terrible. And I thought writing a book, you know, would be a really good vehicle. You know, I didn't ever see anybody making that big fuss about me in my life. I, you know, they shouldn't. I'm a nobody. It's not like I'm going to be on the Tonight Show or anything spectacular. I'm just a regular guy, and this is the cards I was dealt, and this is what I had to go through. And, you know, what they say, you know, life goes on, and, boy, that life went on. You know, it's been a very hard, like I said, very hard, difficult life. I had a lot of just crazy, crazy surgeries. Shortly after I got home, I was hanging out with my friends in my room. We were playing Atari. And I got up to go to the bathroom on my crutches, and blood started squirting out of my wound because it was an open wound. It had it healed from the inside out. The blood was squirting out all over, and I was worried my parents would be upset that it bled all over them. So I told my parents about it, stupid me, the next day, and then we're off to the ER again. We met with a great doctor, Dr. Carmody, and he showed us the x-rays, and then he said to us, I don't think anybody in the world has ever tried this surgery, he said, but, you know, I think I can do it. So after surgery, I went. I was wheeled down, and I'm sitting outside the operating room, waiting for my turn to go in, and all these nurses that didn't speak English were running around crazy, pushing the stuff. Something was wrong. Then the anesthesiologist came over and said, hey, we're going to put you under. And I said to him, hey, you're not supposed to put me under until I'm in the ER. What are you doing? Turns out my aneurysm busted open again right there while I was waiting to go into surgery. Well, I'm going to say, if you're going to have an aneurysm suddenly burst open and start bleeding, it's good to be hanging out, you know, outside an operating room, I guess, you know. So.
Wow. Wow. And despite all these things that happened, here you are thriving. And how many decades later has this been?
Yeah, it's been 42 years now, and, you know, the running joke in my family is, you know, you just can't seem to kill me. I mean, that is, everyone jokes about that. I say to people, I say, yeah, you can just drop me in a volcano. I said, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'll make it, you know. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just the funniest thing. So, I don't know. It's just it's been a very strange life. It's been very tasking. You know, my health isn't great now, but, you know, I mean, how could it be? You know, we just, you know, I still get through my things. I survive, you know. I try to play my golf. That's my body allows me to. And, you know, all I can say is, you know, you don't want to give up if you have something bad like this. And, you know, you don't ever believe everything the doctors tell you. There was a lot of things I did on my own where people would say afterwards, you know, that's not what the doctor told you to do, but hey, it worked out. I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay. So it's like when I did physical rehabilitation, I did it all on my own. I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't do anything. And like 7 or 8 months after I started it, I was walking on my own again. And everyone was like, my doctor was like, how the hell did you do that? That's unbelievable. I mean, they were just, you know, they're really amazed that I was able to conquer what I did, I suppose.
Yeah, and so you said it throughout this, but what do you hope people take away from reading Before, Into, Beyond Cancer?
Well, you know, I guess when you read it, you know, there's some things in there that showed where, you know, I made my own call and I did some things to save myself. So all I can say is, you know, if you're sick, you know, you still got to listen to your gut instinct on things, on yourself, on taking care of yourself, and, you know, I hope that, you know, if some people go through and they read it and they get a little hope, then, you know, maybe they'll, it'll be the inspiration to help them get through it. It's funny, we had a member of a friend of our family, got diagnosed with cancer, and I went down and I talked to him and I'm like, hey, Dust, geez, I'm sorry to hear that you had cancer. And he looked at me and he said, Brian, I'm going to be okay. He said, you got cancer. You made it through. I'm going to make it through, too. Don't you worry. And so it was like, wow. You know, I didn't know I had any effect like that on anybody. You know, that was crazy. So.
Yeah, so it's and this is what your book's about. I think that what you say in the book, you talk really vividly, as you did here, about your experiences, and then in retrospect, looking back, what it was like in the middle of it, what was going on with other people, as you went into detail about Plan B, and that whole idea of, as what you just said there, of trusting your gut, because it's a difficult time. People are panicked around you. You're just trying to figure out, how do I live? And what an amazing story. And here you are all these decades later. So, BF, thanks so much for coming on. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Like I said, this is an honor. And, you know, if it helps anyone out there, then I guess I've done my job. You know? So.
Yeah, excellent. Interesting story. We're glad you're alive. We're glad you told the story. And so thanks for doing that. And thanks to everybody for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.